Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome to another edition of Mediocrity Podcast. It is the freshest, sweetest smelling podcast on earth, where we talk about movies, video games, sci-fi, and all sorts of other things. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by the best friends anyone can have, Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Maggert. How are you guys?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. It's weird because I don't know how it is in Los Angeles where Jonathan is, but here in Dallas...
Not in fucking Los Angeles.
Well, in Los Angeles. You're in California.
What do you think? California is just all Los Angeles and surrounding cities?
It's one large county.
It is one... Basically, it is. It basically is. That place is gigantic. All right, you're not in Los Angeles. You're on the West Coast, middle California, maybe?
NorCal.
You're in North California.
I am.
So you're north of San Francisco?
No, I'm in the Bay Area.
Oh, you're in the Bay Area.
I am.
You're a bay. Ew. I don't know what's happening. But my point was, I don't know how it is over in the Bay Area where Jonathan is, but Jeremy and I are in Dallas, and it is December 4th. And if you stepped outside, it doesn't feel like December 4th. It feels like July.
It's gross outside. It's 80 degrees and humid in the winter.
Yeah. Ugh, that's horrible.
It's really weird. Like, there's no, is it what's it like in the Bay Area, sir, or Los Angeles?
It's lovely in greater Los Angeles. I'm just going to rename the state of California to just Los Angeles.
He just went full Blade Runner where it's just one big city.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeremy got the joke.
It's like Judge Dredd. It's Mega City. Mega City West.
It's been
West.
Like in the 50s and low 60s, but the funny thing is like, to me, that's just cool. But apparently to everyone around here, that's full-blown winter.
Well.
Because everyone around here has got their scarves on and, like, their heavy winter jackets. And they literally look like they're walking around New York in a blizzard.
Wow.
It's intense. And meanwhile, I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I'm just like, what's up, guys?
I went to Denver recently. Like in the last few weeks, and the highs were like maybe 68 degrees, 65 degrees. And dude, people in Denver were wearing basically like short shorts and tank tops.
Yeah, that's like summer for them, man.
It was insane. Meanwhile, I had like my jacket on and shit, but still, it is a very warm winter here. And speaking of December 4th, it's already December. Like, I can't believe that we've gone a whole year and it's December. It's Christmas time. Can you believe this year has gone by? Has this year gone by fast for y'all?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is maybe the fastest year of my entire life.
Well, I feel like, yeah. Jonathan, you've moved like 130 times this year.
Yeah, that makes it, you know, it makes you acutely aware of the passing of the time when you're moving that often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sorry that this year's gone by fast, because that means Jeremy got another year closer to 60.
Yep.
Just, I mean, and what he just did, that aged him at least 10 years.
That did. And I still look younger than you, Kluger.
Oh, you know what? It's unfortunate that that is a true statement. Damn it. So, yeah, Mediocrity. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're going to be talking about Christmas movies because it's the holidays now. I put up my Hanukkah bush already, and it's amazing. There's a hashtag bagels ornament on it, along with wrestling and movies.
So is it a bagel or is it just a placard that says hashtag bagel?
It's an ornament I made out of like this hard cookie dough in the shape of a Star of David that I wrote hashtag bagels on.
Okay.
But then I thought about this when I put up the Hanukkah bush last week, and I was like, God damn it, guys. And I thought about you because I have one Star Wars ornament, only one. And it's the pod racer from episode one.
That's all you need.
Apropos.
I know, right? I was like, God damn it, they're going to give me shit because the only Star Wars ornament I own is from episode one. So, I don't know. But there's a lot of wrestling stuff. Have y'all put up your trees or if y'all do that? Have y'all put those up yet or lights up?
Mine's up. Went up yesterday.
Nice. Any cool ornaments on yours?
Yeah, all my ornaments are cool.
No, well then.
Exclusively has cool ornaments.
Yeah, I don't do not cool ornaments. There's a mixture of superhero and Disney stuff and some Star Wars things.
I've got a Wall-E ornament for sure, and the one I picked out this year is from Aliens. I got the Ripley in her big mech suit, and I actually have the actual alien too. So they're fighting each other. I like it.
I have not put up a tree. We're not doing the tree when we're doing the traveling thing.
Oh, all right. So, well,
it's just too hard to move ornaments and stuff like that, you know?
Well, it's more shit you have to lug around.
Exactly. And our you know, we usually live in like a one or two bedroom place, so it's pretty small, not a lot of room for a tree really.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about Christmas stuff. As the show goes on, we're also going to be talking about The Rock, of course, and we're going to recast Home Alone with a twist. But first, we have to get into this big discussion and theorize what's happening with the Marvel Cinematic Universe in regards to Avengers Infinity War. The first trailer for it came out last week, and I've got a few things to say. First off, I love that the entire geek world loves how Thanos looks now. I've seen so many memes of Thanos looking ridiculous. First off, did you guys like the Infinity War trailer?
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Yeah.
You liked it? So you say that, and you're I can see you, and you're like, yeah, it was okay. And I'll agree with you. It's not the best trailer. It looks – so if you're – Infinity War is literally going to combine every superhero from the Marvel Universe basically in one movie, and it's going to be difficult to do because you have the Guardians of the Galaxy, you have all the Avengers, you have the side characters. They're all going to be there. And hopefully the Infinity Wars will be like 5 hours long, because how do you tell a story in 90 minutes with 100 characters?
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of what made the trailer not that exciting, is really I feel like it was just quick flashes of all the people that are going to be in the movie. Well, and it's like all the people – it's like, okay, cool. Yep, he's going to be in it. And she's going to be in it, and he's going to be in it, and she's going to be in it, and so are those guys.
Well, see, to me, I actually liked it for that because, I mean, like, I've read the Infinity Gauntlet stuff like a million years ago, but I feel like that's probably how they're going to sell this movie, is be like, look at all of this shit. Look at all these shiny, sparkly things. Come on in.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's how they're building it.
Because plus, wasn't that the teaser trailer? I don't think that was like the official trailer.
Correct. That's the teaser trailer. It teased us. It was like a minute and a half, two-minute teaser.
The fucking trailer for the trailer.
But, I mean, it was
pretty good for a teaser trailer.
Yeah, it shows you everything and it gets you excited. But yeah, so this Infinity trailer, of course, what they've been building to since the first Iron Man movie 10 years ago, Thanos and everybody coming together finally. I wonder how it's going to turn out. And from this, what we see, I guess, is there's going to be a giant war on Black Panther's planet. Or not planet, but...
City? Country? Sorry.
Yes, country. Wakanda?
It's Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles.
It's L.A.
So it looks like there's a big war, and I guess my thought is like, what, is there an Infinity Stone going to be there that Thanos is going to get? and which one will it be? I don't know. That's what the trailers look like. And then you guys pose the question, who is going to die in Infinity War? At least part one, because there's two movies. So,
well, I don't think Infinity War just takes place in this movie.
Oh, so they're not they filmed two movies back to back, so it's not Infinity War 1 or Infinity War 2?
Correct. You just have Infinity War, and then the next movie is Avengers 4. And I think the reason they did that was because if you release them, you'd release them, you know, a year apart. But the problem is, if you end Infinity War Part 1 later this year, you've got Ant-Man and the Wasp and whatever else. I can't even remember what comes out past that, 'cause there's so much shit my brain can't hold it. But, you know, it's like you would have to go back and tell the rest of the story after you've already shown probably three movies.
Okay. All right. So I get you there.
So I know what I think that next – I know what I think Avengers 4 is going to be story-wise, but I just feel like this is probably going to be a point where they start to trim things down a little bit.
Okay. So
because, you know, Yondu died in Guardians.
Right.
And I feel like in order for there to, you know, for drama's sake, I feel like there's got to be a little bit of, risk and consequences for characters in this, you know, in this movie coming up.
So it's interesting you say that, because I guess a lot of people think Iron Man's going to die because he's talked about hanging up the costume for a while. Also, Captain America would go along with the storyline from several years ago where he gets assassinated. And then also we've heard...
That's what I think Avengers 4 is going to be, is the death of Captain America.
Okay. And then also we've heard that Scarlett Johansson wants to retire Black Widow, so she might die. And then we don't see Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye at all in the trailer, so maybe he's just chilling at home in the farm. I don't know.
Or he gets killed in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah. He was actually my pick. I was like, I'm pretty sure Hawkeye is going to die.
He seems like kind of the easiest one. He just doesn't really work. As you said before, Jeremy, he doesn't really work on the cosmic level.
But neither
he
does...
He doesn't even work on the Ultron level.
But neither did Black Widow, though, right? They're basically the same type of... No superpowers or anything.
Black Widow's the espionage person, so she's going to help them find secrets and stuff.
But isn't Hawkeye kind of like that? He's like a badass, but has all sorts of cool arrows.
Not really, right? It's like, I mean, they kind of made him seem like there's the same in the movies, but that's not really what the characters are, right?
She's a spy and an assassin, you know. I'm not really entirely sure what he is. You know, he's different in the comic books a little bit than he is in the movies.
Okay. And I guess they're not killing off any Guardians. They're not killing off Hulk. Spider-Man.
Probably not.
Okay.
That'd be really weird. No.
I feel like the ones you're in the most danger of losing over these next two movies are really any of like the sort of the original Avengers, because a lot of those actors kind of deals are going to be up. Like Chris Evans' deal is up after this Avengers 4 movie.
But I mean, he'll renew it most likely. I can't imagine.
He's dead. not if they don't want to keep paying him.
So what do you I'm willing to think. So a theory of mine from the trailer and from what we saw in Thor Ragnarok.
Let me guess. You think Thanos is Mace Windu?
Yes. The purple and red.
Because of
blue.
His purple skin.
Yes. No, I think that in Thor Ragnarok, we saw Loki basically look at the Tesseract. But in the trailer to Avengers Infinity War, we actually saw Loki handing the Tesseract to somebody, which I'm going to guess is Thanos. And then in Thanos' caricature, what if he kills Loki? You know, just like, fuck you, Loki, thank you, but you're dead. And that gets rid of Loki, which I think we've seen a lot of Loki recently. What do you think? Do you think Loki has a good shot at like dying, and maybe that sends Thor into a rage or something like that? I don't know.
I don't see them doing that, because really, to me, Loki is the only villain that they've had that's been likable and that they've actually continued to use. Because, right, like, all their other villains are kind of just like, eh, you know, you use them for one movie, they're gone. You don't really have a chance to bond with them as the villain. And Loki's the only one that's, like, a popular villain of theirs.
To me, he's the only one that's likable that they haven't killed. Almost all the ones that I actually really like, they end up dying.
Okay, well,
although I did like Zemo in Civil War.
Okay, I was trying to.
But he died.
No, he didn't.
Right?
He tried to kill himself, and Black Panther stopped the bullet. In the end of the movie, he's hanging out with Martin Freeman, and you know, yeah, Martin Freeman's like,
right.
"Oh, you shit the bed," and he's like, "Did I?"
No. I forgot that he didn't kill. I thought he killed himself.
He tried to.
So, with Iron Man, do you really think Robert Downey Jr. will not play Iron Man anymore?
I don't know, man. You know, to me, it's not like all he really has to do to be Iron Man at this point is just sit in a little room and let them film his face doing inside the helmet. It's not like he's running around. He doesn't even have to run around a mocap. They can have somebody else do that stuff. You know, they just have to have him do Tony Stark things and then close up inside the helmet with all the, like, little lights and shit that he's supposed to be seeing when he's in the suit. So, I mean, he doesn't really have to do a whole lot.
Okay, no, I get that, but a lot of people think he's going to die this movie in Infinity Wars. And then with Captain America, you also have Captain Marvel coming onto the scene soon, right? Do you think she'll take over Captain America role?
That would be weird because they're not really at all similar.
And she's in outer space, dude.
Okay. I'm just saying. These are some theories.
The answer is no, we don't think that will happen. Yeah.
So do you think Bucky will take over Captain America duties?
That I don't seems know. Most likely.
Yeah. I mean, they did that in the comic books, and it was a fantastic story.
Okay. All right.
That's considered by many to be one of the best Captain America stories ever, is Bucky taking over.
Okay. All right. That would be cool to see.
But supposedly the Captain Marvel story takes place in the 90s. And I don't know if it just takes place in the 90s and then runs to current. But her character's always tied heavily, typically, I think, to Iron Man. So I don't know, like, what they're going to see. I'm curious to see how they introduce her in this movie.
There's going to be so many people in this movie. Oh, I don't know where the time is. And so, what are your thoughts on how Thanos looks, Josh Brolin's voice, and him punching the fuck out of Iron Man?
I like Josh Brolin's voice. Thanos looks like he's not finished.
Okay. What about you, John?
I would agree with that. I think his voice sounded really cool. And to me, the way it looked was just kind of, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it just looks like they're not done yet. It looks like they just wanted to show you some stuff, but they weren't like quite finished. Like, I mean, because Thanos doesn't look anywhere near as good as like what Rocket looks like, or even what Groot looked like in the first Guardians of the Galaxy in terms of like a believable digital character.
Right.
And there's no way Marvel's gonna put Thanos on screen and have him look less good than Steppenwolf looked in a fucking Justice League movie.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm curious. This, if you go online, you type in Thanos, you will see tons of memes. Like, I've seen one where they colored him to look like Homer Simpson, and
that's my favorite one.
Spot on. and there's tons of other things. It was pretty funny, but I guess we'll see. I think Thanos is going to be a really cool character, and I'm curious, as I guess maybe in this Infinity War movie, if he's literally going to destroy half the planet or kill, what is it, a billion people like he did in that one comic book storyline? I don't know. But I guess we'll see when other trailers come out. I guess we'll move on to another, well, not really a trailer yet that comes later this week, but they showed like 10 seconds of the next Jurassic Park trailer, Jurassic World 2. And it just looks like, what's his name, Chris Pratt, with tons of dinosaurs running around, and they're scared. So we'll see how well this one holds up to the rest of them. Because did y'all like or not like Jurassic World?
We had a big discussion about this. Remember we talked about Jurassic World and Alien Covenant and yes. how you like both of those, and we thought they both sucked?
Yes, now I do.
We can do it again.
No, so is so are y'all gonna go see this one, Fallen, the Jurassic World Fallen
Kingdom? I'm gonna wait and see how it's received by the critics and the general population.
Okay, so the director,
I will probably end up seeing it.
All right, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to see it. The director is J.A. Bayona, and he directed the really cool horror movie The Orphanage and also the recent A Monster Calls movie. So there is a bit of goodness behind this, but I have no idea what to expect from this. I don't know if they're going to go super serious and dark with it or if they're going to have fun, silly, ridiculousness with it. But Jeff Goldblum will be in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, so...
That is a selling point.
That is a selling point. Yes, it is. So I guess we'll figure out when it happens, how it happens, where it happens. But that trailer comes out coming up. But today you can see like the first 20 seconds of this trailer, which looks insane. It's Chris Pratt running in a field, explosions and fire and dinosaurs. So it looks like shit is going south for sure. All right.
If the first one hadn't been so terrible, that sentence alone would have sold me on the movie.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt, explosions, and dinosaurs. I'd be like, okay.
Shit's going down.
Here's my $15.
Shit. But
unfortunately, I saw the other movie.
Well, there you go.
Unfortunately, he's seen every other Jurassic Park movie except for the first one.
No, I own that one.
I've seen all the Jurassic Parks. I got to keep up with that. All right. Is there any other news that really strikes your fancy in the last few days that you want to talk about before we move on?
No, man. I've just been playing a lot of Battlefront. That's what I've been doing.
Me too.
I have played some Battlefront 2. There's still some little issues. I know the last two nights we've had to sign out and then re-sign back in to get the game working, but still it's better than part one, I guess.
So much. You guess? How can you say you guess? It is hand over foot better than the first one.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right.
It's so much better. I mean, the first one, Lord knows Jeremy and I really wanted to like the first one.
We played that game just because it was Star Wars, and we were dying for a Star Wars game to play, even though we would play it and be like, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah, but we'd still play it. This one, I've been thoroughly enjoying.
So
I look forward to playing it every day.
I haven't played with you, Atterbury, really. I played with Jeremy a little bit, even last night, but where were you?
You were so good.
We played it. We played once or twice together.
All right. I'm just saying
I haven't been playing because I've been waking up super early. So like right around the time you guys are signing on is usually when I'm signing off, especially you, Brian.
Okay. All right.
I played with Jeremy a whole bunch.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I played last night and I'm still getting the hang of it. I'm doing better than I did when I first played the game. In heroes and villains, I usually have one of the higher scores for sure. But yeah.
That one time.
Last night I did, I think, one of the games in the heroes and villains.
He had the fourth best score on his team.
Shit.
On a four-person team.
Hey, next time we play that, we're going to look to see, and we're going to come back to that. But yeah, still playing Star Wars Battlefront 2, I guess all of us are. I've been... I guess I've been getting a lot of award movie screeners for Oscars and stuff like that. So I've just got tons of mail coming in. I watched The Post, which is a Spielberg movie with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. I didn't like it. I think it's one of Spielberg's worst films. Also watched Molly's Game, which is Aaron Sorkin written and directed movie. True story about Molly Bloom. Who held an underground poker game for many years that attracted the elite and celebrities.
That sounds so boring.
That does sound painful.
What? That's just like, there's nothing about what you just said that sounds exciting to me.
It's actually a cool movie because it's a lot like Rounders in a way, because it's a true story about this just chick who just started this underground poker game that like attracted the wealthiest of the wealthy and tons of celebrities. So in the movie, Michael Cera plays an actual celebrity at this poker game, and he plays Tobey Maguire, who, after watching this movie, Tobey Maguire is the biggest piece of shit ever. Oh my god. The movie won't win any awards, really, but I mean, it's a fun movie if you kind of like an Ocean's 11 Rounders type of movie. But it won't win.
You can't say this one's like Ocean's 11, because the whole best part about the Ocean's 11 movies was the actual heist. Is there a heist in this movie?
No heist, but, you know...
How can you say it's like Ocean's 11?
With poker...
It's like saying it's like heat, but they don't steal anything. And there's no gunfight.
But it's like... But in the realm of, like, it... Oh. The... The different,
so it's as close to Ocean's 11 as it is The Rain Man, because there's gambling involved.
I would say with Ocean's 11, you have a bunch of big name actors in it. There's the threat of like them being caught, and the poker and the whole the money thing and stuff like that. And like the banter is witty like Ocean's 11, but it's, I guess, on a more dire level, such as, I guess, Rounders. So, yes, I'm sticking by my statement, dicks. I think we killed Jeremy with your joke, because he just died laughing. yeah, Molly's Game. But no, I after watching Molly's Game, Tobey Maguire, biggest piece of shit ever. I can't believe he... I guess he doesn't really do a lot of work anymore, but oh my god, that guy sucks. And if you see the movie
in this portrayal of him,
so she named him in something because she gets caught by the FBI or whatever. But he was named, and I guess like in her book, it tells him like what a fucking horrible person he was, and was like, holy shit, I can't believe that is crazy. And I guess in Ocean's 12 or whatever, Topher Grace played Tobey Maguire in those movies, so it's pretty funny. But yeah, tons of other movies and stuff like that have come in, but been cool to see some of the other ones come through that I didn't get to see this year. But yeah, I guess that's it. But let's move on. Speaking of movies and TV, it is the end of the year. And it is December 2017. And I thought, you know, for our listeners, we, between Jeremy and Jonathan and myself, we see a lot of movies, see a lot of TV, and we like to give you some suggestions on stuff that you might have not seen or not have heard of that we've seen this year that you might want to check out, you know, on home video or Netflix or anything like that. So, Jonathan, do you have anything that you saw that most people might not have heard about?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I couldn't really come up with any movies. I don't know. I guess I haven't really seen a whole lot of movies that really excited me this year that are kind of things most people haven't seen.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, like, stuff that I saw in the theaters, I saw a few things, but it's like, pretty popular stuff were the only things that came to mind.
So there wasn't anything on, like, Netflix you saw that maybe nobody thought of or heard of or anything like that?
Nothing that was enough to make me think about it when I was considering these things.
Any TV
nothing shows? That was that had that much of an impact on me. The only TV shows I came up with are Impractical Jokers.
Okay.
And the Carbonaro Effect on True TV.
Okay, so I've heard of Impractical Jokers, but before you get to that, I have never heard of the second one. What is this?
All right, so the Carbonaro, these are the two shows that I've been like really, really loving lately. I DVR them and just watch them pretty much every day. They're hilarious. So Carbonaro Effect is a hidden camera magic TV show. So you basically got this guy, Michael Carbonaro, who's a pretty darn good magician, it seems. And he puts himself in everyday situations, like he'll be a barista or something like that at a coffee shop. And he'll just have the hidden camera set up, and he'll just do magic basically without telling people that he's doing magic. So he'll just bullshit these people and tell them that he's doing this thing for real, and it just it blows their minds completely. And it's so funny to watch these people like have their brains exploded by what they're watching, because it always catches them off guard.
That's a good deal, because magic is, you know, we've seen so much of it, but like, if somebody like this type of TV show is a cool idea, because like if you said like he's a barista, maybe the manager's like, oh yeah, we have this barista coming in from, you know, the other store location where people might not know him, and then he just like starts freaking people out. That's pretty badass.
Exactly. Like, for instance, he's a barista in one episode, and he's showing the customers how if they don't use the ground coffee right then and there, they will put it back into its whole bean form.
Okay.
So, and then he does his magic to show how if you put a few drops of this liquid on the coffee grounds, that it'll actually turn it and like shake it in the bag, it turns it back into like whole bean coffee. And it's just really funny to watch people that are like, huh, okay. And then they see it and they're like, wow, I didn't know that could happen. It's great. It's so much fun to watch. And in Practical Jokers, you said you've heard of that, Brian?
I think I've seen one of the first season or two.
Okay. I love that show. It's so much fun.
Because it's kind of like a jokester, Jackass type of show, right?
Well, so it's kind of like what it is it's a group of four guys that have been best friends since they were in like high school.
Yeah.
And they're all like in their early 40s, late 30s now. And they're all from like the Jersey, Long Island kind of area. So they've all got those really great accents that make it that much funnier. And it's a hidden camera show, but where they're basically daring each other to do stupid shit in public. Except it's not really dangerous stuff. It's more of like just say ridiculous things to strangers and try to see what kind of reaction you get.
Yeah.
It's so funny the way they pull it off. I love it.
All right. Yeah. So I have seen that. It's been a while, but all right. I am definitely going to check out the Carbonaro Effect.
Yeah. Yep. It's on True TV. I mean, pretty much True TV is really just the Impractical Jokers channel, because that's on there almost all the time. And then Carbonaro Effect's kind of on the other half the time.
Okay. I'm going to definitely check that out. Jeremy, anything from you, movies, TVs that most people haven't seen but you want to tell people about?
Movies, no. I mean, I just went to all the standard stuff, you know. I mean, Blade Runner was probably the movie that's this year for me that turned out to be the best. Oh, you know, overall, just in terms of wasn't really, you know, expecting it to be as great and awesome as it was. TV show, I don't watch a lot of it. Probably the best thing I watched that I just tried out on a whim that I wasn't expecting was Future Man on Hulu.
Okay. I haven't seen that
show
yet.
Is hilarious. It is. So it's about a dude named Josh Futterman who plays this video game, and he's the only person in the world to beat it. And right after he beats it, these two time traveling soldiers from the future show up and claim that he is Earth's savior.
Okay.
And that the video game they sent back in time was a test. And so they come back thinking he's going to be this amazing soldier and help them solve this problem that's going to fix the future. But, I mean, he's like a janitor, basically, is what he is. And he has to explain to them that they think that anybody that's a gamer in the past is an amazing soldier, and he was like, no, it's kind of exactly the opposite. And basically, it's tons of nerd references, a fun story, and just totally built on, like, the Seth Rogen style of humor.
Okay. That sounds fun. I'm definitely into that.
Yep. It's pretty great.
All right. Well, cool. I mean, it's just shit that I haven't seen yet, so I'm excited. A couple from me. One movie that I really love this year that I think not a lot of people saw is a movie called The Transfiguration. Have y'all heard of that?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, so I think it's on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix now. But it came out this year, and it is a breath of fresh air into the vampire genre. It is such a cool vampire movie. that takes place in the projects, and it's about this little kid who he may or may not be a vampire, but oh man, the way it's told and like the subtlety of it is so good. The Transfiguration, if you're into vampires, you're gonna love all the references in the movie. It is damn good and damn heartwarming, or heartwarming may not be the word, but it's definitely pretty hardcore though, and excellent if you like vampires. Highly recommended.
I will check that out for sure.
Yeah, The Transfiguration. Another one that some of you might have heard of. I saw this 2 years ago, but it actually was released this year. It is also on Netflix. It is a movie called Raw, R-A-W. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you like it?
I thought it was pretty good.
All right. I do. I love this movie. I thought this movie is excellent. If you haven't seen it, it is a coming-of-age story about two sisters who go to college, who are starting to be veterinarians, and then become cannibals, basically. And it's – oh, it's so good. It's so good. I love this movie. If you haven't seen it, see Raw. There's another movie that I don't know where to find it, but the movie is called Some Freaks, and it's also a coming-of-age story with Thomas Mann, and I can't remember, Lily Mae Harrington, about high school kids who are kind of outcasts and weirdos and goths that come together and like start a romance. But it's really good. It's called Some Freaks. Highly recommended if you're into that. And then my last one is a TV show. You're not going to be able to find this really other than maybe if you have Vimeo and you search for it. But this TV show is called Letterkenny. It's one word, Letterkenny. Letterkenny, and it is a Canadian TV show that has actually been on for a few seasons but has never been released here in the States, and I just saw it this year, and I think it might be the funniest show I have seen ever.
Really?
Oh my god, I can't get enough of Letterkenny. Letterkenny is the town these people live in. There's 5,000 people in this town, and these are their stories, and it is it's so good. It's vulgar, and the writing is dialogue is rapid fire dialogue, that of Gilmore Girls. But if Gilmore Girls was funnier and way more vulgar, Letterkenny, highly recommended. I really hope that the U.S. gets the rights to this on some network, because Letterkenny is one of the funniest shows I have seen in a long time. Vimeo.com, type in Letterkenny, all one word, and you'll just try to do season one, episode one throughout. It is hilarious. It centers on a group of like hillbillies, goth kids, and then dude bros who play hockey. It is fantastic and very funny. So highly recommended. So yeah, movies and TVs you should see that we saw this year that hopefully y'all will get a chance to see and check out. But let's move on to our Christmas segment. We have like three Christmas segments now. Oh my god. So it's Christmas, it's the holidays, it's in the air, it's all around us.
It's in the air.
It's in the air.
Is it
in Los Angeles yet, John?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh, good. Good.
It started a couple days before Thanksgiving, man.
Oh, well, I'm excited. It's Christmas. So basically, these next three Christmas segments, we are going to talk about our essential Christmas movies that we watch every year and that you should watch every year. I believe last year we might have done this, but as far as I could tell, we only talked about the horror movies that were Christmas-themed. And then
we did this in the first year of the podcast sitting at John's table.
Well, so I went back to December 2015, and I didn't see any Mediocrity episodes. So I don't know.
It remains to be seen.
Yeah, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And also, we're going to recast Home Alone with a twist, and also the first Christmas segment we have coming up, which will come up now, is basically we want to put The Rock in a Christmas movie, but remake an old Christmas movie. So what movie would be better if The Rock were in it? What Christmas movie would be better if The Rock were in it? Jeremy.
To me.
Okay. Let's start with Jeremy.
John, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, there's only one answer to this question, in my opinion, and that is Elf. Seeing a gigantic Dwayne Johnson as an elf is just rife with humor. It would be amazing. Him in the little outfit. See him be like, "Daddy."
It's basically his,
you know, with James Caan or whatever. It'd be amazing.
It's basically his character from Central Intelligence,
except dialed up to 11.
Okay.
Let him be as ridiculous as he possibly could be. I think it'd be amazing.
Okay. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe. All right. So Elf with The Rock. Okay. I could see. I might like it better. I don't know. I hated Elf. But I know I'm one of the only people on the planet that hates that movie.
You are, man. That and Hocus Pocus, you are on your own.
All right. Jeremy, what about you?
I opted for the Santa Claus.
So The Rock takes over Tim Allen's role.
Yep. Tim Allen is the Santa Claus that dies in the beginning.
It passes it on to The Rock.
And passes it on to The Rock.
Okay. So a sequel. So a sequel. Absolutely. I like it. Huh.
So, oh, I love that. That sounds like a fantastic idea.
Just the whole thing of, like, you know, like the scene where he's like wearing the fat paunch and he's like shaking his belly. Like that with The Rock, hilarious.
Looking in the mirror with the gray hair growing out. Oh no!
And it would just be like super big beer gut Rock with still like super ripped huge arms with the beard.
Oh no! I think that's fantastic.
I like that. So far,
could we get Judge Reinhold to be the pain in the ass stepdad again? Because I think that would be a really funny pairing.
Sure.
Ah, my goodness. So
Scott Calvin, he was born for that role. It's perfect.
Elf and the Santa Claus. All right, I get it. I like it. I like these two.
And what's your selection?
All right, so I went with a remake of The Rock that stars in Gremlins. Because he's kind of an older guy, he might have a family, and he tries to buy, you know, maybe his real little kid, his little kid, not like an older kid, but a little kid, Gizmo. But then, you know, everything happens. But then, like, in Gremlins, there's, like, some shit. These Gremlins take over the town, and I think this could be, like, a big action movie for The Rock. Like, in a big
city.
So
not just a recasting, but a reimagining.
Yes.
He's like running them over and gunning them down with a machine gun.
Yes, on skyscrapers and everything. I think that would be amazing. The Rock and Gremlins. I think that would be fun.
All right.
So I like our. I'm just picturing The Rock now as Buddy the Elf, like sitting on James Caan's lap, basically. Just like super happy.
Eating the pasta with chocolate sauce and stuff on it and having the gigantic belch afterwards. And man, so jumping onto a tree just like Buddy did.
Hello, I'm Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color? That'd be good. All right.
Santa!
I feel like that.
Or when he gets his finger pricked at the doctor and screams.
That is a good idea.
The fight scene with him versus the elf, the actual, not the actual elf, but the actual, who was the guy that played Tyrion Lannister? I can't remember his name right now.
Damn it. Why have I, Peter Dinklage.
The fight scene between The Rock and Peter Dinklage. We got to see that. Where Peter Dinklage kicks the shit out of The Rock.
That would be so good. The Peter Dinklage somehow gives The Rock a rock bottom.
You could have another wrestler play the Santa Claus that he gets in a fight with.
Oh, Stone Cold, or Mick Foley, whichever one. I'm good with either. They both had good rivalries.
You sit on a throne of lies.
I like this. We need to pitch this to The Rock. I like this elf thing with The Rock. I think it'll be funny. I do like this. Okay, moving on. Christmas movies. Essential Christmas movies for the month of December and the week of Christmas. Are there any movies that are essential movie viewing for Christmas that you watch every year, that you must watch every year, Jonathan?
Absolutely. I have a few that it just doesn't feel like Christmas if I don't watch these movies.
Okay.
I'd say the number one movie is something my family and I have watched every single Christmas Eve for as long as I can remember, which is the George C. Scott version of A Christmas Carol.
Okay. All right.
We watch that every single Christmas Eve without fail, and it's always so much fun.
Oh, good.
That's the best version of that movie, in my opinion. He does a great job as Scrooge.
It's not a Muppet Christmas Carol or Disney's Mickey Mouse's Christmas Carol?
No, neither of those are on my must-watch list. So I've got that. I always watch A Christmas Story on Christmas, so that's another essential. It doesn't feel like Christmas if I'm not watching that movie. It's a Wonderful Life is a given.
Okay, right.
And the first two Harry Potter movies.
Oh, I guess those are Christmas-esque, definitely.
They're super Christmassy. And to me, you know, they were released at Christmas time when they originally came out. They have little Christmas scenes in them. The music feels Christmassy. To me, those are like Christmas movies that I got to watch every year.
So what else do you have? Because you haven't named several that I've come up with that I'm shocked. But I'm a Jew, so I don't know.
Those are, like, to me, like, the absolute essentials. There's a number, of course, that I love. I mean, like, I love Christmas Vacation. Okay. I love Home Alone.
Okay. All right, but those are not the ones like that you must see every year.
Exactly. Those are not the absolute essentials.
Okay. I get it. You want to hear mine?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Or does Jeremy want to go first?
You can go, dude. It's all good.
All right. The Jew's going to give you his favorite Christmas movies but the ones you watch every year or should watch every year. So every year, every Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, I have to watch the Charlie Brown special. So Charlie Brown Christmas, I'm always watching every year. Also, A Christmas Story, I watch every year. There's something about A Christmas Story that's so nostalgic and heartwarming and fun.
Oh, yeah.
That I love.
It is the Christmas movie.
Right. But I love, like, you know, it's the – we all kind of went through shit like this, like, you know, being yelled at for cursing when you were little. And, like, it's just so good. And it's just – I love being wrapped up in – that whole family.
You know, that reminds me or it makes me think of another little side topic we could do.
Okay.
Is I would really like to hear what your Red Ryder BB guns were. Every kid had that one thing that they just, like, they needed that for Christmas or for Hanukkah or whatever. They absolutely needed to have that. And then, you know, whether you got it or not.
We can do that next week.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we got to do that next week for sure. So Christmas Story. Also, another one that I love, I must watch every year, is The Ref, with Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening. Basically, Kevin Spacey and Annette Bening are having a big Christmas party. They're a big family, but they're getting divorced and they hate each other. And Dennis Leary is this this burglar, this robber who kidnaps and ties up everybody in this family at dinner and wants to steal all their stuff. But it's so good. It turns out, like, Dennis Leary is, like, the good guy out of all these misfits that are at the table. But it's an excellent Christmas movie, and brings the Christmas spirit. And the other one that I must say I think is the best movie, Christmas movie in the world, and one that I watch every year at Christmas, is Eyes Wide Shut. It is the best Christmas movie in the world. It tells the story of Christmas and is what Christmas is all about. And Eyes Wide Shut, that is mine.
I haven't seen that movie, so I don't know if you're joking or not.
No, I am not joking. That movie is the true spirit of Christmas right there, Eyes Wide Shut. And if you don't believe me, you need to watch it.
Can elaborate on to why you think that is.
I will do that at another time, but I want Atterbury to watch it, because I do believe it's on Netflix or Hulu or something, but he needs to watch it, and I want to hear him what he thinks about it. It's Kubrick's last movie, and it is, like, the essential Christmas movie, and we can bring that back up this month for sure, but
okay.
I definitely want him to watch it, because I am absolutely. I've said this for a long time. Eyes Wide Shut, best Christmas movie in the world. All right, Jeremy, Christmas movies. What are the Christmas movies that you must watch each year?
Favorites are Scrooged, definitely is always on the list. Elf and Batman Returns.
I wonder if somebody was going to say Batman Returns, because that definitely, the movie is definitely Christmas. And I think it's one of the better Batman movies too. I really liked that.
There's a lot to love about that movie.
There is.
Including Billy Dee Williams
as Lando / Two-Face.
The Two-Face we never got.
Yes, seriously. Harvey Dent, man.
They actually did recently cast him to play Two-Face in a Batman animated movie.
And so he's doing it?
He actually got to do the Two-Face thing. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
If somebody was like, man, he played Harvey Dent, we got to have him do Two-Face. So they actually had him do Two-Face.
Oh, good. That's poetic.
Well, yeah. Cool. That's good. That's good, good, good.
Yeah, those are my polls.
I like that. I love Scrooge. I love Christmas Vacation. I don't necessarily watch those every year, but I do love those movies for sure. And God, I got to give Batman and Returns another look for Christmas. I love that movie. I do. Well, good. Check out those Christmas movies for sure, and let us know if you watch them. All right, on to our last segment. Last segment. We are going to recast Home Alone, but Mr. Jonathan Atterbury, what's our special twist in recasting Home Alone?
So we're going to be doing Home Alone with an all-Latina cast.
Which...
And we're going to be calling it Solo en Casa. Neither one of us, none of us actually speak Spanish, so that may not be the proper translation, but that's what Google Translate suggested. So we're going with Solo en Casa.
Solo en Casa. So I don't know about you guys. I had an easy time coming up with casting minus Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin.
Dude, casting the kid was really hard.
And like,
who?
Yeah, no, I don't think I went. I didn't go Spanish Mexican with it. I did not. I don't think so. But
pick some kid. What's the kid that played Ron in Harry Potter? That guy.
Yeah, Weasley. Weasley's Kevin McCall. No, that was really hard because at the time Macaulay Culkin was legit like 8 or 9 years old. So it's very difficult to find an actor that's that young, as well as Spanish actors, because it's mostly like young white or black actors, not very many Spanish or Asian actors of that age, because you can't
especially
really...
none that we could say a name and like have anybody recognize who we're talking about.
Yeah,
you can't do that with any kid actor though right now. There's no
It's so true.
There's no Haley, Haley Joel Osment's, young actors.
It's like I can't think of any.
Jacob Tremblay maybe.
I don't know who that is.
That
Jacob Tremblay is the guy, the kid in the that movie Room with Brie Larson. He's in the new movie Wonder. He's a good kid actor. He's up there, but he was born 10 years ago.
You said the kid that was in It and Stranger Things. To me, that's the closest thing we've got to like a budding child star right now.
True. So, well, this kid's younger than them because I thought about those kids for sure, but they're also much older, at least look much older. But we can get there. We can get there. So,
right.
Who's going first with this Home Alone Spanish recasting? It's not Home Alone. It's Solo en Casa.
Solo en Casa.
Who's going first?
I vote Brian goes first.
Okay. All right. So I will start off with the two, the Wet Bandits, formerly known as the Sticky Bandits. Sticky Bandits, formerly known as the Wet Bandits. Marv and Harry, played by the amazing Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci. For Daniel Stern's Marv, I picked Antonio Banderas, which I just figured he'd be the goofy one. And like when you put that tarantula on his face, he'll let out an excellent scream. As well as Joe Pesci. I went with Demian Bichir, who was in the TV show Weeds, as well as the recent Tarantino film The Hateful Eight, as Bob, Mexican Bob. I picked those two guys, which I think they would really play off each other quite a bit. That I think one could be more serious, the other one would be goofier. For Kate McAllister, the mother of Kevin, originally played by Catherine O'Hara, I went Salma Hayek. She's super hot, super good, super amazing. And then with Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin, very hard, very difficult, but I don't think I went Mexican with it, but I went with Gaten Matizzaro, Dustin from Stranger Things. Because he has that cute quality to him, and I think he could, like, he still looks young enough to, like...
I'm pretty, like, damn sure he's not Latino.
No, I don't think he is either, but I had a difficult time.
I panicked,
so I picked him because he has that childlike quality. He's still young. I think it would be fun to see him, like, play that younger role, and I think he still can at this age. So that's who I went with. I didn't pick anybody for Buzz or anything, although that would have been awesome, too, but I didn't. All right, who's next?
I guess I'll go next. All right, so me, for the mother in Solo en Casa, I went with the one and only Sofia Vergara.
Oh.
Just because I figured her accent, just talking as fast as she does, would be really awesome in that role. It could add a lot of hilarity to that. especially when she's chewing out the airline clerk, because she realized her kid's at home alone.
Yeah.
And then for the Wet Bandits, I chose Cheech and Chong.
Oh, man, that's going to be a raunchy-ass fucking Solo and Casa.
It doesn't have to be that raunchy. I mean, you could just have them, you know, both of them have shown that they can be very funny when not being that dirty. So Cheech and Chong,
I expect obviously the pussy speech from Cheech.
Obviously, Cheech would be playing Joe Pesci's character, and Tommy Chong would be the other one.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Because the first thing I thought was Joe Pesci's character. I was like, Tommy Chong or Cheech Marin would be amazing for that. And then it just led me to being like, why not just cast Cheech and Chong? And then last but not least, for the kid, I just decided to take creative license, and I am casting Wilmer Valderrama.
We're just going to cast Wilmer Valderrama as a 38-year-old guy who can't be by himself.
Just shave him, you know, have him get into that same kind of, like, Fez demeanor from that 70s show.
Can he just be Fez? Can it just be Fez?
Yeah, sure. Let's make it Fez, and this is his actual family. This is why he left.
This is Fez's actual family in Cheech and Chong. Oh, I like this a lot. That's great. I like it. I'm in.
That was my home or Solo en Casa casting.
I like how we have to say Solo en Casa.
Like one of these soap operas, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Jeremy, I know you had a big, big, monumentous, really cool thing happen today, so I don't know if you had time to do a Solo en Casa recast. But if you did, or if you just thought of some stuff right now, let us know.
I did not have time.
Okay. All right.
And also, I hate Home Alone 2, so.
What? You don't
like Home Alone 2? Or Home Alone 1?
Both of them. All of them. As an also.
Even with the John Williams score?
Yeah.
Why don't you like those movies?
It's a terrible movie.
I don't get it.
Well, I get it because Jeremy was like 35 when that movie came out. Yeah. So it's just like,
he's like,
I wasn't the demographic.
Oh, that's funny. Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, Home Alone, Solo en Casa. If we missed anything, which I'm sure we did, let us know. But yeah, I think that is our episode for the first week of December 2017. And okay, so next week we really have to remember this because we haven't done this and we've talked about it. So next week we're going to do what is our BB gun, our Red Ryder BB gun. toy growing up, like what was the old toy we always wanted. We have to remember this. Also, we've talked about this. We have to come up with the theory and storyline for a DC Marvel crossover movie and how it would work. So,
okay, I'm texting you guys these topics right now so they'll be in there. Otherwise, we will absolutely forget all this.
Okay, so yeah, we have to do these two next week. So next week, we have to bring this up because we might have to do two shows next week, I feel like. So next week we'll do a regular show on Tuesday. We have to do a regular show on Tuesday, which I think we might have to. We're going to do it before we screen Star Wars: Last Jedi, or after, or
after. It needs to be right after.
Yeah, it needs to be after. But we want to wait till John sees it, so we might have to do a special edition Last Jedi only podcast where we talk about and everything. Maybe
and I won't be on that podcast.
No. But
no, he wants to have one where he wants to do a Last Jedi one after you've seen it. That's why he wants to do two.
That's why I want to do two.
I got you. Okay.
So like next week, when we do one Tuesday, we'll do it after, and Jeremy and I can give our initial thoughts without spoilers, mind you, because this will be before the movie comes out. So we will be spoiler-free.
I will you can dial me in after y'all talk about that, because I don't even want to hear if you guys thought it was good or bad, because if Jeremy says the movie was great, then that alone is going to tell me so much. And if he says the movie was bad, then I know a lot. There's a lot of stuff that I'm going to know, and I want to be able to go into this with virgin expectations. I don't want to be tarnished at all.
Do you hear Jonathan right now, Jeremy?
I do.
Oh,
I
my
hear.
Goodness.
I understand.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about next week, but then hopefully Jonathan will see it opening day or the day after, so that after he does that, we'll do a special edition of Mediocrity where it's just all Last Jedi stuff.
Absolutely. We'll have a big full episode about it. That will be, because it comes out on a Friday, right? So we'll all see it over the weekend. And then that coming Monday, we'll be able to discuss it fully.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think of how to get you. I'm trying to think if I should text you after the movie on like spoilers, John, or not. I don't know. Don't
say anything. I don't want to know even so much as it was good, it was bad. I don't want to know anything.
Do you think John will take our calls after the movie, Jeremy?
Probably
I would
not.
Take Jeremy's call.
Yeah,
I don't
he would
know
take
about
mine.
Your call.
Why wouldn't you take my call?
Because Jeremy doesn't want to ruin it for me, and you're
That's
expressing
correct.
The fact that you kind of do.
All right. Okay, so we'll discuss these three things next week. We are Mediocrity. You can find us at boomstickcomics.com, Jeremy Magert Art, and newamericanfitness.net.
Nope.
newamericanfitness.net is no longer anything now?
It no longer exists.
The website?
The website, yeah. I closed it down.
Oh, okay. So where can people find you?
I am not on the internet. That's where.
So basically, they can find you on this podcast, Mediocrity.
I can be found. I can be heard on the podcast, and okay. That is exclusively where.
That is exclusively on iTunes and Stitcher Radio on BoomstickComics.com. So you can find Jonathan there. So no more New American Fitness. So I thought you just got off. So all right. So until the next adventure. And then Jeremy, are you still on everything, Jeremy Magert Art?
Instagram and Twitter. All mostly right. Instagram.
All right, cool. And yeah, subscribe to us. Mediocrity. We always have fun and we love you. And Mace Windu will make an appearance in The Last Jedi. We will confirm it next week. We'll see you later.